I did have somebody email us and say that I had to be louder on the mic.
And what do I have literally said that to you every single week. And you say it's easier to turn it up in the edit than turn it down.
You don't turn it up.
I just don't know how to do it. I'm learning
I'm learning all this in the
wild, buddy. And I can't trust anything you say.
It's not in the wild now. If I told you, you're in a corporate building.
It still is. Just be louder initially.
New rule.
New rule?
It's not called corporate. We're now saying corporate.
I like Corbett. That works for me.
It's Corbett.
One of my favorite actors is named John Corbett.
Well, he's Corbett.
Yeah, that's not true. I do like John Corbett, but I wouldn't say he's one of my favorite actors.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. Wouldn't it be interesting if I got into country music?
Yeah.
Okay, let's get
to what would change about you?
Nothing, except you would go secretly he's a conservative.
No, not secretly. Now,
yeah, like, well, you go basically overtly. He's like wearing like the Confederate flag.
It is
basically.
Kind of a hard tell. Like, it's hard to say that.
That's
you're
kind
not.
Of what I wanted to say. It's like if you're into it, it does a little bit seem like that must mean that you're also Christian and that you're also very conservative.
I hate that. That's like a bullshit thing.
I know it's co-opted. The Christians are actually really good at co-opting things.
Yeah, they took over Rome.
They took over America. Stopped. It's like they're really solid at that. Uh-huh. And then it seems like America is inherently religious, but it is, I guess.
Yeah, we're living in it. We're living it really in a crystal fascist fucking reality.
Just shoot me into the sun, please.
Come on, dude. It's impossible to do that. No one can do that. Shoot you into the sun? You think I'm going to use taxpayer dollars to shoot you in that cardboard box? Would you keep on fucking talking about it?
I assume I would have to use a private company.
Oh, you think I'm going to pay for it?
Why are you involved?
Because I'm the private company.
By this point in my life, I don't know you anymore. When I'm getting shot out into the sun.
Interesting. So I've wiped your memory? I've total recalled your ass?
No, I'm getting as far from you as I possibly can. The moment this podcast gets canceled for lack of viewers, I'm going to get as far from you as I possibly can.
Well, then why don't we put some more ears on it so that no one ever has to view it? They just can hear it.
You see it with your ears, baby.
Listen, that's a fact. All right, we have a fantastic audience. What would I do? Now, I know that I'm saying this specific section of the podcast.
And I'm not going to get mad here at all.
You shouldn't get mad, okay?
I'm just going to sit here and relax.
Our next episode, the 60th episode, all right? I'm going to be revealing what everyone has suggested our name.
Wow. Yes,
I said it correct. I said it correct.
Wow.
I said it correct.
Wow.
Has suggested what our name should be for this section.
It's like he has like his retainer in.
I do.
That's how you pronounce that.
I do have a small retainer in the back of my mouth, and I'm able to push it forward. It grows when I need it to, and I can cap into the teeth that keep it in the form that I want.
Okay.
It's a new technology,
but
who
great.
The fuck is going to pay for that spaceship shoot you into the sun? Me. What are you doing every day? Oh, I just got
into
Cowboy
Music.
Too early
for the callback. It's too early.
It's never too early.
Double
never
callbacks
sleep.
Right in a row right there? Jesus Christ.
Oh, like you don't like a double stuff Oreo?
I don't even like a single
Oreo.
Yeah,
you're a bad guy. They're
take
vegan.
The cream out, make it all choco.
So in our 60th episode,
oh my,
we are going
do you
to
need
be able-
to take a break.
No,
episode,
yes.
Are you a Spaniard?
I could be. Okay,
I haven't done my genealogy report yet. I might be.
I mean, most likely, aren't we all?
I once took a genealogy test, and I got my initial test back where it did have the caveat in the tiny, tiny print that
said
that like some of it like could be wrong, that there was like some margin of error or whatever. But I didn't read that. And the report, it said all the stuff I already knew, but then it also said 26% Scandinavian.
Whoa.
And I was so excited about that. I started Googling Scandinavia. I was looking at pictures, looking at Scandinavian people. And I was like, oh, yeah. I actually do kind of look Scandinavian.
No, you don't.
A week later, I get a report and it says there was a 26% error. You're not Scandinavian at all. But I spent a full week really identifying with that.
Yeah.
And so it's I still do when I, you know, I still do feel a little hurt by it.
That's cool. Yeah. I'm sorry that happened to you.
That's all good.
And that's also, I think that's a really good and important thing to remember for everybody. Whenever we submit any kind of DNA sample, there's going to be at least a 26% error on like what's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, let's say like, hey, oh my gosh, we found a blood sample next to this body. It looks like you killed him. No, maybe there's a 20% error that I didn't. You know what I mean? So yeah. Always have that in your back pocket because you never really know where you're going to want to pull that card out.
And always ask for a lawyer first.
Never ask for a lawyer. That's actually a faux pas. You don't. You want to talk to the detectives. Talk to everyone in the police department. Just one-on-one.
Check in.
Just check in. See how everyone's doing. I guarantee you none of those cops have ever been asked, how you doing?
I don't even think I have to tell you guys, but Joey is standing now.
I'm moving around. So they're on our 60th episode. Oh, I can say it right.
Episode.
All right. We are going to be going through all the audience name suggestions for this sector.
Jeez, you can't even say that in a normal way. Because you're so worried about saying it in the way that I want you to say it.
No, I'm not.
That you have to be really precise to make sure you say it in the wrong way.
Do you know what I'm worried about? I'm worried about not being able to get to the bottom of what the fuck this section should be called. That's what I'm worried about.
I'm worried about that as well, but just because of knowing you.
I'm worried about not being able to find a certain kind of short that I like for the summer. Uh-huh. That's what I'm worried about.
Unrelated.
You know what I'm worried about?
Okay, you're just listening to your worries.
Going on Amazon and looking up those SPF like fishing shirts and finding the one that I think makes me look cool enough.
Wow. This reminds me of a great poem by Raymond Carver called Fear. You should look it up, guys. It's great. Joey's kind of just doing an improvised version of it.
I'm not scared. All right, so our audience, what would I do? Comes from Brendan Peters. And he says this.
Okay.
What would you do about people repeating stories multiple times over different conversations or having a go-to, quote-unquote, party story they tell at gatherings? What would you do about that?
That might be one of the golden questions because that's really, really good.
Yeah.
Because I actually, you know, it's something I stress about all the time. I hate it. I think as improvisers, we're more inclined to be like, I would rather just never tell the same story two times if possible. And yet there are some stories you go like, but that is a crazy story. I gotta tell it. Yeah.
You do gotta say
like,
it.
I told that story that I told, I think on the last episode about getting kicked out of the class by that theology professor. I told that on a different episode of this as well. And you know what? All the details weren't the same. And so that made me go,
because you're making up the story.
Well, it's because, you know, certain parts, you know, deserve a little embellishment. But I personally hate when I hear someone tell. Well, like, it honestly depends on the storyteller, because some people, like, you tell some stories more than once, or like some of our friends do. And I go like, yeah, but you're like a fun, engaging storyteller. I enjoy listening to it. And it's kind of, if others can contribute to it, it's kind of like a fun way of all like getting on the same page or something.
I agree. I do like when you're in the story and you're like, I love giving like the MTV version, the Fast and Furious version, where it's just insane.
Yeah,
I love packing.
Like you and I have told that guy falling off the bike in Ireland story a bunch of times. Oh. But anytime it starts to get set up and we're telling a new person that, I'm sort of excited about it.
There's fun when we're telling together. It's a lot of fun. But like I've told that story many times solo, and it's like
it's a slog if you tell it solo. I actually have told it solo once as well, and I was like, God, it doesn't have the same energy at all.
You're like, yeah, I guess whatever. And look, you're probably thinking to yourself, are they going to tell the story here?
No, we're not.
Because guess what? We're not going to repeat a story.
I'm not really in the mood. And I almost think we've told it on this.
And if we haven't, just go back, listen to the episodes, and tell us if we have.
Yeah, that would be, that sounds like a James Lowe's test.
James Lowe's, if you're listening to this, stay the hell out of my Bank of America.
But did you say that it's actually pronounced loose?
I don't know.
Or did I just, was that in a dream?
He did say it was pronounced lost, like Los Angeles.
Oh, there you go.
And I'm not going to acknowledge because I don't even know if that was the actual James Lowe that I was speaking to.
There's no way to know.
But he's an obvious enemy of the podcast.
How do you know that the internet hasn't just become sentient and every message you get is just from the internet itself?
I don't know.
You don't know.
But I do know.
Eagle eye.
Well, I do know because when I interact with the internet, I'm able to interact with it in a way that I feel is pure.
Yeah.
Because I'm interacting with it, right?
This is great.
Like, if I go into different, like, let's say I go to Home Depot, right? And I go in there, I'm looking for just like a shit ton of wood that like it can fit in my hand, whatever.
Sure.
And I go up and I ask
them. Tiny wood, but it's usable wood.
It's not tiny wood, though. I got to use
it. It's still really big.
Well, I got to put that up on my wall. It's got to be able to like, you know, like hold up like a whole section.
I guess just for ease of imagination, what size are we talking here?
I'm talking about, I don't know, something that can fit in my hand that can hold up, man. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like easy peasy. I'm trying to walk out with it, dude. You think my fucking.
Like a wood chip.
Like a wood chip?
No, actually, it's got to be a 2x4, and that'll fit in my hand.
Funny. Doing a little scroll voice. Listen, bud, I'm talking about something that can go up in my wall, okay, and cover a giant hole that was made. All right?
Who made the hole? Are you still punching walls?
Yes,
are you a teenage boy getting drunk for the first time?
First off, I wasn't drunk. Second off, okay, I was trying to showcase to my neighbors the ability that these walls are really loose.
Man, I would always hate it when one of your friends would punch a wall.
That was the worst.
You know that experience growing up? And you're just like, dude, why are you doing that? And they're like, broke my hand. You're like, you're a dumbass,
you're
man.
You're so fucking dumb. But then at the same time, in hindsight, you're like, what the hell was going on at home?
But also, sometimes you get mad and you do want to punch that wall.
You do want to punch the wall.
I don't think I ever did
it. You do need to do it once.
I probably did it.
Everyone does it once. You go, that hurt, never doing that again.
Yeah, you go, you know what? what? I just got the Darwin Award for my hand.
Sorry.
That was dumb as hell.
Let's get back to the question that Brendan Peters is asking us. Okay, we're talking about repeat questions.
Yeah, I'm ready to jump right in here.
We're talking about party go-to stories. Now, I want everyone to be mindful of this. If you listen to late night TV, right? If you listen to like any of the stories that celebrities are telling, especially when they have like a movie they're promoting, they'll say the same story over and over again.
Yeah.
And I get like, I'm like, come on, man. Like,
I don't know why I was at this, but I once went to a Jay Leno taping and
just like people like in a bush watching him?
Yeah, and he was just like sleeping, and then it was like you throw rocks at the window, and because he would wake up and go, hey, what's the deal with the rocks?
Jesus.
And it was a lot of it very derivative. But I went to this taping at like late night, whatever, with him before he retired. And I remember that one of his guests was like an Olympian, but like not as interesting as Sean White. You know, it's like a guy that you don't know and whatever. And he told a story that was so canned, and it was like about like giving a homeless person a sandwich, and then they said, "I'm actually vegan." But it took so long for him to get through a story, and I just hated it so much, and it kind of turned me off of canned stories forever.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like canned stories of cans.
No, I'm not going to do that with you. Actually. I saw it in your eye that you were desperately trying to misunderstand that, and I'm just not going to give in to that one. I appreciate the effort, though.
You don't like stories about cans.
But what was the thing you were just saying before that?
About celebrities going and repeating stories?
Oh, yeah.
So just be mindful that when you're out there in the wild watching TV, because guess what? Look, can you go on talk shows during the strike? Yes, you can.
Mm.
So that's okay if you watch.
But you can't promote anything.
Can't promote it.
Yeah, I don't think this is super relevant to the question itself.
I'm just saying. I want people to be aware of this.
Do you have a party story? I feel like because we're improvisers, we don't.
I don't. I don't have a party story.
Certainly never.
I don't even like.
But maybe there are some that kind of naturally. I kind of just listen to what people are talking about and if there's something relevant.
I think we have more of a Rolodex of like stories to say in blank situation.
Than
it is necessarily like a one story. Like,
if
we were at a party and someone came up to me and go, "Holy shit, all the pasta fell on the floor," I'd be like, I got a story.
Yeah, you tell a story about the pasta burglar. Right.
Or if someone was coming in and be like, "Oh, you know what? I was just looking at a Monet at the Mocha."
You would talk about when you used to steal art.
Exactly. So like I have like go to.
You have them ready to go. Not if they're not prompted.
Yeah, I am not going. And they're looking to say blank story.
I am though
looking to take over a conversation.
Yeah,
I am there looking to take maybe.
But it's almost with the express interest of not having a story. I would say
yes,
because if there's one way to describe you at a party, it's just like you are vamping corporealized. What am I in the army? No, that's not what that means.
No, because I'd be the Marine Corps.
Great. Okay. Fine. But my point is that you just prefer to vamp the entire time. You don't want to have a story to tell. You want everyone to be going, there's no way for me to chime in because he's not saying anything.
Fun.
Yeah.
So that's what you think at parties? Actually, I think I'm the life of the party. When I go to parties, I think I'm the guy who's going over to the DJ booth and I'm asking him to go to the bathroom because guess what? His car's on fire.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, what are you talking about? And he goes in there and he sees pieces of his car that are actually on fire.
Uh-huh.
He goes, what the fuck is this? And I go, I did that. Okay. So why don't you get off the goddamn DJ booth and let me DJ, bud?
Yeah.
And he's like, get the fuck out of
here. I don't think of you as a DJ.
Well, no one did at the moment. But when I go up there and I start slipping and sliding on those goddamn silver discs and people
splash I was taking a bath
and he doesn't have that, so that's when I just gotta start singing
I gotta fucking sing it, they want to hear it.
Exactly. So that's kind of, if you're gonna talk about a go-to
tearing the
story,
wires out of the speakers and you're like, I'm not for tech. No,
but this is what I would do, Brendan Peters, and I really want you to take this to heart and understand, of course, this is subjective.
His name's Bernadette Peters,
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want you to understand that what I'm saying right here maybe not be a universal plug and play,
sure,
but it might be helpful to you, right? Because it seems as though you don't like these go-to stories, et cetera. You can understand that, like, just like Mike said.
Brandon, you're saying, like, in his question, it seems like it's a little bit loaded, and he's suggesting that he doesn't like it.
He says, fuck it. So this is what I would do about anyone saying, anytime that you hear somebody saying a story that you've heard, right? So it needs to be something that you've heard. So you're going to have to be going to a lot of parties.
Yeah.
You're going to have to be tailing a lot
of
these
friends. You're going to really have to be listening and taking a lot of mental notes.
A lot of mental notes, okay? Because you remember that time when it's like someone said their name and you forgot it immediately and you're like, holy shit, like what the fuck? So you got to switch that out.
Yep.
And Mike's going to be talking about his memory palace. I don't want that, okay? Mm-hmm. Don't use that. That's Mike's thing. He's probably going to be using that.
I don't have a memory palace.
I'm not saying it's
in there and it works and I have a bunch of methodologies.
So there you go. So you kind
of. But I don't use it.
It doesn't matter. The fact that the memory palace is built, it doesn't mean you. Like, guess what, dude? How many properties do I have around the U.S.?
Yeah.
Hundreds, thousands of properties, right?
Do
I go to each one? No, I don't. Okay.
Yeah.
I pay that out. Who do I pay? Yeah. Different people.
Some of those coordinates that you sent me on those don't, that's not how coordinates usually look. where it's like all words and stuff.
Well, how else are you supposed to know where to go?
Well, it's normally, you know, it's like, you know, it's numbers.
Oh, the number things and the little circle next to the number?
Right, like, degrees.
Well, yeah, I don't care how hot it is. Yeah. I need to know if I need to make a left or a right.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm like, make a left here. It's like,
I know, but remember when I was like, let's just Google Maps these and find these locations. And then we were only able to find one. It was that Denny's.
Uh-huh.
But we couldn't find any other things. And then you were like, well, let's go to that Denny's. I own that Denny's. And we went there. And then there was like no way. They were like, you don't own us. This is owned by the state of Delaware. This is like the congressional people come here. It's like a whole other thing there. And that had nothing to do with you. And you didn't own that property. But you said hundreds of thousands. And remember, we went through at least 20,000 of them. And it was all just none of those coordinates led to anything. A bunch of them we could just not even do because you couldn't even input it anywhere because it just made no sense. Like a few of those things I know was like a code to get like a free Microsoft Office like package for 6 months. Because a lot of it, uh-huh. when we Googled it, it would just lead to those trials for the Microsoft Office stuff.
Which are legit though if you use them.
But remember though? Then we got called by the FBI and they were talking about how we had been using stuff from like the Silk Road or whatever. And then it was like a whole big investigation
into how we got
those numbers.
Part of the Silk Road.
Well, no, but then when they told you, you got to stop saying that because it's all illegal underground trafficking stuff. Then you were like, I'll never say it again.
Right.
So now we just catch you on mic saying it like that. But regardless, none of that matters.
So what I'm trying to say, Brendan, is this.
Yeah.
When you go to those parties and you've already like understood these stories, you've mm-hmm. already ingested
you
all the
know
memories,
they've told it
you
before.
You know yeah. they've told these stories. I want you to cut them off and go, let me say it. I say it better.
I really agree with
and
this.
And I want you, because you're going to be in a circle of people, let's say minimum 3, maximum 50.
Uh-huh.
And I want you, while you're speaking, to turn. I really want you to get squared with the person who was originally telling this bullshit story at the party.
Stay aware of your hips.
Make dead eye contact with them. Do not break or blink.
Uh-huh.
Keep those lips
I like that.
Chapped and say that story to them.
As close to word perfect as possible.
Which you'll get.
Now, here's my question. Does he do an impression of that person, or does he just kind of say when like you have your computer read something?
Exactly.
Aloud?
Yeah. The way you're hurting them is by ripping the shitty story away.
Yeah.
And now it's yours. Now
let me just ask you. And I'm not even trying to throw a wrench in your thing here
okay,
at all.
Sure.
But what if the story's good?
Then you say it anyway.
Okay. No. Good. You say it anyway. Shitty story.
It doesn't matter across the board. Okay. We're talking about go-to party stories. This is what happens.
Yeah.
Okay. Because someone's got that one great story.
Yeah.
Come up with some more of them, bud. Looks like you got a lot of great life experiences going on, huh?
Yeah.
Why'd you stop there when you were on that banana boat in Cancun and it flipped over? And guess what? You found a little ring and you put that ring on your pinky finger and it unlocked a different chest that you didn't even understand. You go back to the hotel, you go back to the sandals, right? You go to the resort and you go, oh, look at the ring I found. Everyone's like, oh, good. That's pretty cool. We actually have a chest in the back and it looks like the tip of that ring can fit inside that lock and open it up.
Uh-huh.
It's been here for 1,000 years. No one's been able to do it. You go in the bag and clock it open. Guess what's in there? A shit ton of sunscreen. And guess what? You got sunscreen for life. That's not a fun story. Oh, really cool. Like, you don't got more of those, bud?
Yeah.
Like, that's your only one? Yeah. Come on, man. And if that's the only thing you're delivering to us, guess what? Unsubscribe. You ain't coming to my house anymore.
Unless you're giving me free sunscreen, my man. I don't want to hear that story ever
again. Don't
tell
me you got unlimited sunscreen. Don't bring it to the party. I don't care if it's like, you know, like February, January. Like bring it anyway. I'm going to need it.
No, yeah. That's a helpful, you know, what I would do.
Sunscreen
for sure.
Stays, dude.
Mine is actually a little bit more on the supportive side.
Okay.
I think, but I'm encouraging a very similar thing.
I was also supportive.
Yeah, it was a little bit more above the other person. But here's what I would do is I would jump in excitedly and try to kind of co-opt the story a little bit.
Wow.
Here's how to do it, though. No, not exactly. Because you're still letting them do the main spine of the story. But what you do is you keep referring back to your reaction the first time you heard it. So they start saying a thing and you go like, the tiny ring. Because, yes, I remember going like, where'd you get a tiny ring, though? And I remember thinking that. And so you just keep interrupting, saying what you thought last time. I think you just got to be a little passive aggressive with it. And they'll stop telling that story, or they're going to ask you to go on the road with them and tell that story. And then you got that going on.
Damn.
That'd be great.
Okay, that's legit.
Okay, hope that helped.
Brendan, I'm sure it did, bud.
Okay. So, guys, we have a special thing that we're going to do today that I'm actually really excited about, and I hope it becomes a permanent thing. So what we're going to do is the subjects that we're going to talk about today, Joey and I have not agreed on them at all. I just picked all of them and then I'm just going to tell them to Joey cold. And so I'm going to try and start with one that'll really, really get us moving with, you know, cooking with some gas, as it were. So he doesn't know that we're going to talk about these, and I just kind of want to just see what's off the top of the dome, because I think the worst side of Joey that you get is the researched side.
Yeah.
Because it's a little bit.
It's informed.
It's not chaotic enough.
It's informed.
Yeah, but it's a little bit, it's smug, frankly. And I've told you that. You know that.
You just don't like people knowing.
Okay, so
things.
First and foremost, okay, so here's how I'm going to phrase this one. I just want you to catch me up on Greek mythology.
Okay, where you at?
I don't know anything about it. So just kind of gave me point A to
all
the way
to the end. I kind of did the other time when I was talking about Uranus and Gaia. And getting boned up.
Start me at square one.
Creation myth,
start
bud.
Me at square
well,
one.
Here we are.
And bring me to the end.
Okay. So at the beginning of time, there was a guy.
But again, this is going to be a quick episode. I do not have time.
Well,
so.
Why don't you shut the fuck up and listen then? You keep on interrupting me. You don't want to know the goddamn.
Sir, yes, sir.
Oh, great. The squirrel's back. You're getting the goddamn chipmunk pieces of wood to build a house.
I'm slightly more on the SpongeBob side. Like here, for instance.
Whoa, that was really fucking good.
So you got that. So now what?
Do that again. That was so fun.
This was popular at my high school. Yeah, so that's the SpongeBob.
Oh, my God. Do you think the guy had to do that with, like, Mike was like...
Tom Kenny? I don't know if he had to, but I assume he did.
Damn.
But maybe not. He's a great voice actor.
I feel like you do it once and you're like, all right, we got it. Loop it.
Yeah,
you know
that's true.
Like,
that's true. And my throat is killing me now from having just done it.
You like karate chopped your throat and then like went up and down.
Yeah, you kind of slice your Adam's apple. But anyway, Greek mythology.
Now, we're not talking about that, okay? Adam's apple and all that stuff, that's Judeo-Christian shit. We're not talking about that, okay? We're talking about the creation myths. We're talking about like how things get to going and Greek mythology, and there's a lot of it, but there's so many gods and goddesses and deities, lesser and more.
Set timer for 5 minutes. I'm not going to talk.
Why not? Oh, you're really not going to talk? So you're just going to ask me to talk the entire time? Oh, wow. Finally, I get the power. Finally, I get the reins. You know what I'm saying? Finally, I get to hold the chariot's key, turn that bad boy on, and let it fucking ride, bud. Greek mythology, that you keep on mouthing to me. They can see it. So can I. If we're listening with our eyes and hearing with our ears, then what the hell's going on with our gut? I'll tell you right now, a lot, because so much is going on. Speaking of gut feeling, people believe that the soul was inside your gut. That's where they thought it was, all right? And also, that's where Zeus like births Athena and like so many people out of the fucking top of his fucking head. It's insane. It looks like a big old zit. She pops out of there and shit like that. And trust me, hey, if I was a god of war, you know, I'd be pretty pissed as shit too, you know? Well, Ares is the god of war. Yeah, well, Athena is too, okay? Athena's got some fucking brass on her. She's able to fucking knock some shit around, okay? Also, the god of wisdom, all right? God, respect that. Canonically looked at as the owl, Athena. Why? Because she's wise. She's ready to chop some shit up. Ares, just a wild card. This motherfucker just loves blood. Can't get enough. Every time there's a battle, what happens? Oh, Ares, help me out here. Why? Because you want to get down there and you want to, like, you know, just knock some things around. You might kill somebody yourself, okay? You might kill like a buddy of yours. You got bloodlust, as it's called. It's not good. It's not a good thing. It's talked about in the Iliad, okay? Achilles gets it. Remember, Patroclus, his fucking boy, his lover, his best bud, wears his armor, gets killed. The gods are supposed to go down there, didn't go down. Didn't go down. That's where all the shit went. Look, we're getting off topic here. We're talking about the beginning and the end of it all. The gods are fighting the Titans, and the Titans are the creatures that are birthed out of Gaia and Uranus, and these are just like horrific looking things completely. We've all seen Hercules. We've all seen that Disney movie Hercules, remember? It was animated. The song, goddamn, what the hell was that one song? They had a lot of, look, it was a lot of songs. And I don't want to promote a Disney movie. I'm on strike, okay? But I have to acknowledge historically, canonically, that was a movie, okay? I can say that, all right? And I forgot who was Hercules. I don't even know who the actor who played him. I want to say it was me. I want to say, like, why the hell did I not get the residuals for that? But you know what? I don't think I did. But maybe I did. Maybe there's a memory wipe. Maybe there was like the Men in Black. Again, I don't want to keep referencing movies that these studios can make a profit on still, all right? But like, again, canonically, Men in Black happened. That did. I can say that. I'm on strike, so I'm not going to promote it. That's a fucking fact, okay? So you got Gaia, Uranus, they're going downtown to Bone Town. They have all this like, you know, sex, I'll say it. And then they birth all the Titans. The Titans are running around, blah, blah, blah. Zeus is birthed as well. And they're like, oh, hey, this guy's supposed to kill your father. It's kind of like how it always goes. Like, he's going to kill Kronos, et cetera. Like, everywhere, it's all like patricide in Greek mythology. And it's like kind of like this recurring thing of like, hey, guess what? Daddy's been bad. We got to kill daddy. And then like when you become daddy, then you're like, oh, shit, one of my kids is going to kill dad. Just because it's how it goes. I don't know why. But apparently sometime at one point in the Greek Isles and the Greek culture, right, in the Hellenistic culture, they were just like, dude, you got to kill daddy. And everyone's like, that's just how it goes down. And so they put that in the writing. Obviously, obviously, these are just all analogies, right? These are all just metaphors for life, etc. And something to be known about the Greek gods is that they are fallible. They fuck up a lot. The Greeks themselves didn't even like him at times. Most of the times, they're like, these are fucking assholes. They committed a lot of cardinal sins, the gods, and just pieces of shit. But that's an also beautiful thing to look at when you look at the gods, because they are representations of humans. They're like, they are our sins. They are our fuck-ups, right? Except they're immortal. You know what I'm saying? Except they get to run around and turn into like little horses and like jump into water and shit. It's just like, it's stupid. Talking about water, we got nymphs everywhere. You know what I'm saying? We got water nymphs, sky nymphs, etc. Right? Are we talking about the Moirai? That's Greek for the fates, bud. Three crazy witches. They all got like, they share an eye or whatever the fuck it is. Like, I don't know what the hell's going on. They got all these strings out there. That's everyone's life string, everyone's fate. It's already established. And it's just like, it's a lot. And I will say this. I do appreciate the fact that individuals are going out there saying, hey, why are we doing this? Why are we keep on making these clay pots? You know, and they're like, well, because these three witches in the cave said we had to. And you're like, okay, that's fair. I'll do that. Okay. You know, and I'm like, to me, if I was back then, I'd be like, nah, I ain't down with that. Where's the cave? And they're like, well, it's all the way up there. You got to find it. And I go, no problem. So I jump on my scooter, e-scooter. I'm not paying for a gas guzzler. That's a fact. And yeah, it's solar charge. I don't got a plug in. Duh. I'm a fucking ancient Greece asshole. So I got my solar charge scoot and I ride up the mountain. How? Oh my God, the angle must be. I gripped it with the tires are like perfectly gripped. You know, since they can grip on anything, they can grip on little pieces of grass and take it up there. So we get all the way up there and I go, hey, let me tell you this, ladies in the fucking cave. If you want to tell me how I got to run my life, you want to tell me what I got to do? Well, then maybe we do something about you. Maybe you change up how you're living and stop projecting your BS on me. Fuck your dreams. Fuck your dreams. Fuck your dreams. Is that okay, your
that's
alarm?
Time. That's time. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you got to say fuck your dreams to wake up in the morning. Now, I didn't learn anything from that, but what I did like about it was it taught me one thing, and I was really thinking about like the special relativity, basically, like the way that time can crunch and expand if you're, say, bored or whatever.
Yeah,
whereas like that 5 minutes
felt so quick.
It felt so long. It brought me really back to like being in high school and college and stuff.
That's fun. That's a good
where
memory.
You're going. I know I'm not learning. Mm-hmm. I know absolutely that I'm not learning. I'm not retaining a single thing that I'm hearing. And I'm escaping.
Yes.
Because that was one thing during that five, I can't believe that was just 5 minutes, but I felt like I was in my childhood. Boom. I was like going through some traumatic memories. I was like
that's what the stories and the great myths give us, an opportunity to reflect.
Uh-huh.
That's what that was. So you actually learned a lot. I can say that.
Yeah.
And this is what I would
I grew. I will tell you what, I just grew a ton as a person, personally.
You're a grower, not a shower. And this is what I will say. This is what I would do.
This is what I'll say, and this is what I'll do.
About Mike asking me to say anything about the Greek myths. This is what I would do.
Interesting. We're inverting a lot of rules today.
Well, we are, because the rules are changing.
Yeah.
All right? And to adapt to any changing environment, you have to change as well.
Because
if you stay the same, guess what? You're going to get...
We're on strike. Yeah.
You think I'm going to go into a goddamn face-to-face audition for Netflix right now? Ain't going to happen, bud.
God, I wish they'd bring back in-person auditions. That'd be sick.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? Not right now, because
we're on strike. Not at the moment, because I wouldn't be allowed to go. I'm on strike.
Yeah. I wouldn't even go.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I would do about Mike asking me about Greek myths. I would say this. First off, I'd like Mike to be dressed in a classical period robe. Okay?
I honestly think that suits my body type.
It doesn't. It doesn't.
If I got my arms to be a little bigger.
Yeah, well, they need to... doesn't matter.
They'd have to get a lot bigger.
Look, you look great. You look great.
No, I'm looking fine.
You look great.
Yeah.
You look great. Yeah. And I would like him to wear sandies.
But you're basically wearing a dress.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And it's a bunch of blankets.
Dude, I'd love to wear a skirt, man. It's hot as fuck.
Yeah.
I got to find one.
I've said this before, but you would look very right in a kilt.
But they're too long, and they're also too, like, the fabric's too thick. It's supposed to be for the Highland.
No. You can get really, really short one.
Yeah, I need to, man. I need to get, like, half crop. Like, we'll talk about it. But, like, I'd have you in the period dress coming out there speaking the classic Greek, and maybe have a goblet of red wine, some olives in the other hand, right? And you're just throwing them at me, and I'm like, what the hell's going on? And then I realized he's asking me to talk about Greek myths. That's why, because I understand context clues. So the next time you're doing this, I think actually come a little more with the pageantry. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Give a little more flair. I know that's not necessarily like in like your vibe, like you like the costumes aspect of it all, but like for this, I should just give it a shot.
Yeah. I mean, well, look, I didn't have a ton of time to prepare. It was because you started talking about Greek history when we were inside my house like 25 minutes ago.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, I'll just give him 5 minutes or so to talk about that on the podcast.
So this has all been like pre-planned for a long time. You've been really giving this a good think.
Almost an hour. I mean, less than an hour, but almost an hour.
That's great.
Yeah. But so here's the thing that I would do about Greek mythology is I I think, like, you got it. They should have made way more of those animated Hercules movies. Now, again, I don't want to say what company made it because we are on strike, I'm not going to bring that up.
Thank you.
And so whatever it is, but also never saw that the series about it or whatever. But, you know, I think that...
Kevin Sorbo.
Yeah, exactly. What a guy. I think that they need to... I think everything that is in entertainment should be historically 100% accurate.
Yep.
So if you're going to write this story about Hercules falling in love with Meg and doing all that, it's got to be in the ancient texts.
Yeah, dude.
Because right as you started talking about, what'd you say they're called? The Titans? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh, well, I saw that in that movie when I was a child. Is that right? But I don't have the confidence to believe in it. But I enjoyed all of that. And, it was a good time. But I feel like a lot of time you watch these things, and then if you look at any of the historical texts it's based on, it's, you know, Danny DeVito wasn't there.
No, he wasn't there.
He was not there.
No, he wasn't there. He was
not there. And you grow up thinking Danny DeVito was there.
And he's also in a lot of movies, though.
Right.
He's in a lot of great movies.
Right.
He's a great actor.
I don't even think of him as an actor. I just think of him as the Hercules guy.
Champion of labor.
Uh-huh. Well, he's honestly the best.
Yeah.
I would love to see him in real life.
Me too.
That would be great.
Me too.
But yeah, so that's what I would do. I kind of just talk, ran a little bit about striking, about this movie, and then Danny DeVito.
Okay. Legit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now I'm not saying that I'm going to do the 5-minute timer on all of them, although that does sound kind of fun to me, because then I would just really get you tired, and that sounds kind of nice.
You don't think I'm getting juiced up by it?
Fine, then we're doing it. Fine, then we're doing it.
5 for 5 for 5 for 5 for 5 ain't going to fucking get me.
Fine, then we're going to do it, man.
Let's go.
Sorry, audience. I guess that's what we're doing in this one.
Oops.
So, okay, so
better
for this next one.
Turn it off now.
Well, one of these you're going to go so nuts for. I'm actually scared of it. The fact that it's going to be 5 minutes is actually pretty exciting to me. Okay, so for this one, I basically want you to explain what it is to me, and then I want you to explain to me the, like, philosophical repercussions and underpinnings of this thing. Okay?
Good, let's go.
And not a problem. And, yeah, okay, great. And I guess I won't even preface any of it, and I'll just let you jump right in.
Let's go.
So explain to me what simulation theory is, and then explain to me, like, the meaningful, like, repercussions of the theory. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Timer is set.
Okay. So first off, I want to be clear that we're not talking about simian theory, right? Where that machine that people just get on to, like, have sex with. Okay? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about simulation theory. Because let me tell you, that machine ain't a theory. It's a fact, y'all. Okay? And I've never used it. I don't even know ergonomically if I'm, like, I could. I guess I could. But, like, I'd be down with that. I'd try it. That's what I'm trying to say. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll do it. Whatever. I don't give a shit. You can give me $5 or whatever. Give me 10. I'll do it for free. You know what I'm saying? I'm in a room to myself, that just so I can experience it. Obviously, like, you know, I'd control the intensity and whatever. But I'm just saying, for the sake of that, like, we're not talking about that. We're talking about simulation theory, okay? So simulation theory is the idea that we live in a matrix, bruh. We live in a fake reality. Somehow we are plugged into a machine, or, like, there is a projection of an augmented reality, or maybe like a CGI reality that we're all inside the Las Vegas sphere. Except not when you go into the sphere and, like, it's not like you're like, oh, I'm in a building. It's like the outside of it, but that's everywhere. So that's simulation theory, the idea that we don't actually exist. We are not really here. We are just the projection of an AI consciousness that's saying, like, Joey and Mike are going around, they're going to do a podcast. That's what it thinks. That's what really pisses me off when I think about this shit. When people go, like, oh, we're all in a simulation. Like, you think an AI made you do your shitty thing and, like, wear that weird fucking shirt because, like, that's what you believe, that a computer created that to do this? And I'm like, blows my mind. No, because guess what? If a computer actually created this is just my thought on it, okay? If a computer actually projected the simulation, actually created this thing, don't you think it'd be like some utopic bullshit? Don't you think we'd all just be like numb robots again, just walking around doing it? The robots can't feel, the AI can't feel, can't understand empathy or conversation in the way that we really can, right? That's human to human shit. And that's just our edge on it, bud. So I don't believe that the simulation exists. I think it's stupid. I also think, guess what? After the movie The Matrix came out, it became pretty popular. Everyone's like, oh, we're in the Matrix. It's like, you know what? Why didn't you say that in the 70s? Why didn't you say that in like the turn of the fucking 19th century? You say we were in the Matrix because you didn't know about it. You didn't understand that there were computers out there. You didn't know you can go on AIM and say, like, ASL, age, sex, location. All right, you didn't know you could do that. But now that The Matrix is down, Keanu Reeves is dipping and diving from bullets, I guess we're all inside it. It was a great movie. Again, I'm not promoting that movie. I'm on strike. I'm just saying there's a reference point. All right, so hear me on this. The philosophy behind it, okay, if we're really trying to understand what this is, it's, I guess in a way, we're moving away from religion. We're moving away from the idea that there is a single God, a sky God, if you will, okay, the Judeo-Christian practice and stuff. And we're actually leaning more into the sciences and saying, hey, the sciences are kind of right. Maybe let's look into that. Maybe if there is a deity, it has nothing to do with anything that just was birthed, but maybe something that was created. Maybe that we're actually inside like a speck of dust inside like a man-made, or not man-made, but like a computer-made computer somewhere in like another robot's home in what would be like mid-Wisconsin. There's a computer in a suburban home and like it's all robots and like we're inside that like custom made like computer with the glass panel, you know what I'm saying? And everyone's going, oh, I got to get the new RAM thing, whatever. Remember during the pandemic when one of those like scan discs or whatever the fuck, those like video discs, whatever the fuck, where like everyone was trying to go, but they were using them for crypto. That's what it was. So it was like a video card that everyone was going, RTX. That's what it was. RTX. Everyone going, oh, I got to get that. I got to get that. But it was actually helping my crypto mine and all that stuff. That's why you were like, oh, I'm not going to be able to stream or do my videos like in the highest quality because of whatever the fuck, because the crypto people are trying to take it. Okay, another thing, you're gonna tell me AI was like, yeah, go out there and mine. Like the things that we do must be blowing the fucking mind of the simulation to the screen and be like, geez, I didn't think you're gonna do that. Like, all right, I do think at times like, hey, you got to stop, but you created us, you know what I'm saying? You let me loose and you're like, hey, do whatever you want, you're just inside my brain. You shouldn't have let me off the fucking leash. That's what I'm saying, okay? You're telling me now I got to do what you want? Ain't going to happen, bud. Okay? That's the reality. And now you got these people going crazy saying like, it's the same thing within religion where they go like, oh, paradise. After we die, we go to paradise. That you have no thought or no respect for the world that we're living in right now. It's the same thing with the simulation theory. You think it doesn't matter here. This is all bullshit. You don't have to engage. You can be as selfish as you want. You can be as greedy as you fucking want and like dismissive of other people because it doesn't fucking matter. Well, yeah, it does. Because this is the only consciousness, the only reality you fucking know. So why don't you just fucking shape up and work with us? If this is something that's a simulation, then why the fuck do we have a difference of opinion? Why would that even be a thing? Why would the computer, one of the, as we project, the smartest thing in the fucking universe, ever give us the opportunity to doubt that what's happening is real? Only to attack it? That makes no fucking sense. It makes no sense. That's it. Oh, I got 7 seconds. Sometimes I know that I can dance now. The country music for you. Sometimes I know that. Fuck your dreams. All right, that's our timer.
Now, okay, so this time I wrote down some thoughts and questions here. Okay. First of all, Sibian machine. That's called a Sibian machine.
Oh, right.
Yeah, all good. okay, next part is, so to me, so one of the ways that you're trying to attack the idea is you're going like, a computer couldn't process this. It doesn't feel this. It doesn't understand this.
Right.
So couldn't we then be part of an equation that the computer is saying to itself to understand what it naturally does not or does not naturally occur for the computer, such as human empathy and perspective?
Sure.
Okay, great. Moving right along. So then wouldn't a movie coming out about simulation theory, i.e. The Matrix, be a great way, and being popular, be a great way for the AI to deflect suspicions that we are, in fact, in a simulation?
But then why not wait till the tech is even better for the film?
It's cutting us off. Cutting us off before we can even get there. We see it and we go, yeah, it's just a movie.
Nah.
It can't be too real because then we will believe in it. So instead, it's at a perfect time to come out.
And
right around Y2K.
Are you telling me right
time.
Now that if that movie came out now when they have that Mandalorian kind of like oval screen where they film it, it would have been even better.
No, you're right.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
So bad play, AI.
Now, what is RTX?
RTX is a company that creates those video cards or those like whatever the fuck it is. I don't know what the hell it is. It just like boosts your computer's output. So like you put them in there and like
it's like more RAM or something.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And so people are using it to crypto mine and shit.
Well, I don't know. God, I don't understand that. That's really confusing. And then I was also thinking, what I'm really enjoying about this format is it really is showing me how in just a window of 5 minutes of time, you can become like one of these like televangelical Christians.
Thank you.
Like it was becoming, you were like projecting doctrine and you were like riling up the people towards the end of your speech. And what's insane is I know you were floundering because 5 minutes is a long time.
So long.
And so by that last minute, you default to what your natural reaction is or your algorithm as a computer simulation. And it is to try to get the people to join your church, whatever it may be.
Yeah. Well, I am trying to make money at the end of the day.
Yeah, well, you got to make money. And I do feel like if you dress like one of those televangelical Christians, it's kind of the right vibe for you.
I think so too. I think, like, give me an 8-piece suit. Let me sweat.
Yeah.
And then that's all I ask.
Yeah. Okay. So here's what I would do with simulation theory is I would make it real, and then I would let it be so that, like, you know, there is a kind of heaven type space. Like, but I would want it to kind of be like Wreck-It Ralph 2, Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Right.
Which we're
not promoting.
No. I haven't actually seen all of it. I've just seen pieces of it. But where we all exist in this kind of liminal space between the states of the simulation, but we're kind of, I guess it's like Zion, honestly, in the Matrix, which again, I'm not promoting because I am on strike. I'm WGA strong and I'm SAG strong, SAG-AFTRA. And we love Fran. We love Fran Drescher. But the thing is, to me, with the main key idea in it is that we all just live forever and the computers love us and we're their lovable pets. And I do get to do improv for them from time to time.
I'm into that.
Yeah. What would you do?
I think what I would do about
this. Because I think a little bit, you think you're free from having to say what you do because you got to talk for five
well,
minutes.
Well, part of me was like, should I, out of respect to just the timing and, like, you know, the amount of speaking I've done?
Yeah.
But this, I'll keep going because I do think out of respect I should.
Yeah.
This is what I would do about AI and simulation theory is I would stop saying theory. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's see where the facts are.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, gravity's still a theory. I'm like, yeah, but I can drop an apple and I can hit a car.
And I know it's going to fall at 9.81 meter per second squared.
That sounds like a machine. But what I would say is, like, then show me the simulation fact.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Stop letting me know through these things through TikTok.
Don't these sort of things feel so college to you? I hate when someone's going to attack you. Like, they prove me wrong. I hate that. It's the worst. It's such a bad space to be in. But that's great. That's great. And I guess, let me say, I'm loving this. I'm really enjoying because, you know, sometimes, you know, recently Joey and I switched who edits the episodes and who makes, like, the Canva, whatever sort of stuff for promotional stuff. And so one thing I've noticed is that I do interrupt you quite a bit, but I do think I have to. I do think it's really important that I interrupt you, but partly this is my way of saying, okay, audience. Take a look at what happens if he has 5 minutes uninterrupted.
Great. So this is just reinforcing why you need to keep
in the future. I'm going to be interrupting way, way more. Right. So this is kind of like a break episode. It's cool. Almost like we're doing like one of those.
So
Simpsons.
You give me more work for something that you're not dealing with or processing.
I think I'm processing it great. I'm proving to myself the theory that if you are uninterrupted, it's scary.
Yeah, but you are telling me to be uninterrupted.
Yeah. To show you what it's like.
But then why not just have a normal conversation? Why not the goal be like, hey, I'm going to have a normal conversation.
It's boring to me.
Wow. Okay, cool, dude.
Because I'm going to keep waiting and you're trying to find the word and then it's always just an ad for Three Ninjas, which I'm not promoting. But also, I do wonder where those actors are now.
I love that.
I would love to get a little catch up with Colt, Tom Tom, and whatever the other one's name is. We don't have to get
Ryan,
there.
I think.
Yeah, that sounds about right. It could be Brian, actually. There is a world in which it's Brian.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Okay, so moving right along. So this one I'm also very excited about. And this is something I actually think about a lot. I'm gonna say a little bit more at the top before we get into your 5 minutes.
Thank God.
Yeah. So this one is legacy, or the idea of being remembered.
Yep.
I have this sort of thing with that, which is that I find it incredibly strange. I understand it, and of course I'm in the entertainment industry, so it's almost like I do want that sort of thing, or that is a driving force.
We do
force
have a
me.
Podcast.
But it's not something I find like meaningful. Like the idea of, you know, to be remembered or to do a thing that affects a thing or whatever. It just feels like the abstract of a reality without you in it is so abstract. I go, who cares? You know, it's like, just like be nice and good and do all the things you're trying to do while you're here. But when people have the sole focus of they're like, I want to be remembered when I'm gone and, you know, all that sort of stuff. I find it very, I don't know. It's just something I don't connect with at all. And yeah, and so for this part, you're trying to not interrupt me because you're like, I got to do my tight five on it.
You said you wanted to talk.
I said you wanted a little bit. I know, but I'm the way you're looking at me. I go, is he going to gut punch me?
You're going to say in a second, like, okay, now go. So I'm like, I don't know what the fuck you. This is a structure you created. I'm just playing it.
I'm creating it live, my friend. Yeah. We're creating it live. You have much.
So you talked for maybe like 30 seconds and we're spiraling out. Buddy, you couldn't live a fucking day in my shoes. Life. Let me tell you about legacy.
Yeah,
let me tell you about legacy.
Let me get my timer going. Okay. 3, 2, 1.
Legacy is very, very important in America. And I'll tell you why. Because of sports culture. You go on Sports Center, you go on any of these things, all about legacy, all about like LeBron's legacy, Tom Brady's legacy. It's this thing that's like pounded into our mind that only great of the greats can ever have that. And you have to like You have to have this thing etched in marble and through all these, you know, like you have Shaq statue outside of the Staples Arena. I'll say it. Okay. And all that shit is like, that's legacy. Oh my gosh. Like Kobe, Michael Jordan. It's amazing. Like all that shit. And he's opening a thermos this time. It wasn't anything that he cracked open. It was a squeaky twist off that he did. Thanks, Mike. Really appreciate that. Talking about legacy, that's going to be one of yours. Guy who's always cracking bottles every time there's a microphone around. That's a legacy point. All right. Also, though, very important to be mindful of that. You say like, it's just friends. Don't close it. Don't squeak it back up. Just let it be open, bud. So, those are little things, little tips and tricks that happen interpersonally between friends and family, that like those legacy things that we can always go back on Thanksgiving and like kind of remind ourselves of family members and friends who have passed, or like even in the moment, like, oh, mom always did this, or like, oh, you know, like Sally, you're always doing this, like that. Those little things I think are really fun. Those are little micro legacy pieces. When you speak about the industry, I'll say this though, there are so many performers and so many like deep cut things that you get like passed around, especially within comedy, of like, did you see this sketch, or did you see this like the short or whatever, that like, you know, from back in the day, and you see someone's work in that regard that's like just so funny and resounds in you so much. You're like, oh, I have to do this. They're speaking my language. That's the legacy that I think of, where that individual was able to produce something and create something true to them in that moment that was like sings throughout time. Like, yes, this is, it's not even a thing of the period. It's just like, it is, just is, you know, and like, that's the shit that I'm always, I would love for myself, like, oh, I was able to create that thing that somebody else years later could see and say like, wow, that was amazing. I'm like, thanks for making that. That's something I would think of like in a selfish way, in an ego way of legacy, right? But let's say legacy wise, what do I want? Do I want like a whole town named after me? No, I don't. I want a city named after me. All right. I want like a mega city named after me, like in Judge Dredd. Right. I think it's kind of boring. They're like Mega City 1 or Mega City B, whatever the hell it is. Like, how about Mega City Joey Greer? You know what I'm saying? Mega City Joey's little fun place over here, right? We can name it whatever. I'm just saying like that. And I'm not saying this a way to be like an asshole, to be like a big, big, big piece of shit that's saying like, oh, only my city's going to have my name on it. But they can, because there's going to be a corporate war and those people are going to come after me. And guess what? My company's going to overtake theirs. Not because I got more money, more resources, but I got more guile. And I'm not talking about Street Fighter, okay? I'm talking about the actual ability to get in there and get it done. That's what I got, all right? And that's also the city you're going to want to be at. Do we have water? No. Do we have wind? No, but what do we got? A lot of hangout spots. All right. We got Ethernet cafes. Yeah. Ethernet cafes. That means they're plugged in. And that's, again, a legacy piece that I'm going to be able to offer and bring to everybody else, because nobody else is going to be thinking about that kind of shit. Everyone's right now worried about what's going on day to day because it's hard to make a fucking living and everything fucking sucks. And it does. If you're a millennial or younger, shit, even older, you know how bad it is? The boomers fucked us, bud. That's just how it is. The largest consolidation of wealth in the history of the world is being hoarded right now by the boomers in America, right? The minute they pop off, that's going to flood everyone with liquid cash. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about actual liquid, because it's been so hot up there. Heat rises, right? So all that money's got coagulated and just turned into blood pieces, and it's going to drop down and drench in us. So we're going to be soaked in it, all right? And what's going to happen? What's the first thing you're going to spend that money on? Probably some shoes, right? Yeah, why don't you look good again? After that, what are you going to do? Probably go to an oyster bar. You know, you want to eat good. What are you going to do after that? I don't know. Probably go and buy a Lambo, maybe a Ferrari, some like hot car, drive around in my new minted clothes, as well as my tum tum full of that seafood. Now I'm running around too fast. I'm taking too many lefts, too many rights. I'm getting the jumbly and the bumbly. Now, what happened? The first thing I bought, shoes. Second, oysters. Then a Lambo. What didn't I get? Healthcare. I forgot, because it was never an option. So when I crash that car and shit my pants, you know what happens? The bill, the copay that I'm going to pay out of that is going to be fucking huge. I'm going to have to pay the whole thing. The doctor's going to say, here's the bill, $650,000. Now I'm going to say, I can't pay that, right? No, of course I can. I'm liquid. But he's going to say, like, you got to pay it. And I'm going to go, what's going to happen if I don't? He goes, well, Mega City B is going to come and kick your ass. This is the origin story. This is the legacy of how Mega City Joey Greer gets established, because I'm not paying that medical bill. And I'm going to make sure no one has to pay it, okay? All right, all doctors and all nurses, okay, they're going to be forced by the state to do any kind of surgery I want whenever to help you. Because that's what I'm just trying to think of the future, all right? And think about that when we think about legacy and we think about our own imprint in the world. Just be mindful to know that the people in history that have done it have been fucking psychopaths and have really hurt a lot of people. So why don't we do something that doesn't hurt a lot of people and just come together and just fucking kick it?
Fuck your dreams. Fuck your dreams.
Okay, that was great. That was super interesting. So once again, I have some cues.
Yeah.
So first and foremost, are we boycotting calling it crypto.com arena?
We have since episode one.
Oh, okay. So we're just, okay.
It's but, a mom and pop staples.
Right. But I thought we were going to call it, I want to call it the ball place. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And then I think you want to call it, it's the name of someone.
Yeah.
It's like, someone looks like that. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Oh, almost dropped my pen.
Careful, bud.
Sorry about that. Another one is, have you ever actually met someone named Sally?
Yeah. My aunt.
Aw. That's nice. Are you guys close?
Yeah.
I never met a Sally before. It always feels, you know, and is there a name where when you hear someone say it, you go, no one's named that? Like, I feel like it's always an improv show. It's like in an improv scene, and someone said, like, hi, nice to meet you, Sally. I go, like, you almost can't say it, even though
I feel
it
like you would know more Sallys from the Midwest.
I don't think I've ever met one.
That's crazy.
But my example of what I just asked about, like, improv names.
Yeah.
I feel like if someone ever calls a character Timmy, and it's always going to be a child in an improv scene, it turns me off. Like, I really bristle against that for some reason.
But if they said Tim, you get rock hard.
Yeah, Tim is actually less bad to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's something about Timmy where it sounds like you're improvising.
Yeah, Joey and Timmy, there's like a big difference.
Yeah.
There is. It's like strange. Like, why is it?
It's just overused, like, or something, too, where it's like, it's almost like that's what like sick kids in TV shows were always called, is always Timmy. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like you can really hear Troy McClure talking to a little Timmy.
True.
And then, okay. So I want to say points to you for contextualizing it in a meaningful way about influence in comedy. Because it actually is. I was like, oh, yeah, you know what? I would say some of my most cherished memories are like being alone and like watching like Gilda Radner or like In Living Color as like a little kid and being so excited. Or like I used to watch a lot of the 25 years of SNL. I'd always watch that VHS. And, you know, you're right. There is something sort of like transcendently sort of interesting or something or inspiring when you watch it and you feel the influence. And that's kind of a nice way to think about it. I guess I don't really think about that generally. Okay. And then I'm actually curious about this. When the people, like, is there a way, like, people, the people who are hoarding the wealth, when they die, it's just going to be hoarded by their progeny, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's not going to be a meaningful windfall.
No. There might be pockets.
Like, we can't hope. Well, like, is there any hope for the disproportionate nature of wealth in the world? To
no.
Yeah, it's hopeless, right?
Yeah.
God, that sucks.
Gotta go and take it.
This is a little bit more of an aside. What's the weirdest thing about Mega Joey Greer City?
Weirdest thing, I'd say that all the canals, because you don't have water and all that stuff. All the canals I filled in with a form of liquid that you can't get near, you can't breathe in, you can't even look at.
Uh-huh.
So that's probably one of the weirdest
things. It's like mercury or something?
No.
Oh, but it's expensive. Oh, okay. Yeah. But it's something, that is bad and toxic. And that actually reminds me of something I didn't write down, but that I was thinking about. You said your city has no water or wind.
Yeah.
Now, wind is air, right?
Yeah.
But you have air. People can breathe air there.
Some parts of the city, yeah.
Okay, so
they've broken through the walls. That's why.
Are people wearing helmets with like contained air or something, or no?
No.
How are they surviving?
Day by day, honestly.
So it's a struggle. Okay, and then, just one last question actually still about Mega Joey Greer City. Do people have to ask you for permission for any surgery? And are you sitting, like, you have a dedicated area where you're seated there or something and they come
in? Well, I was, but I got so bored as fuck at that because I had shit to do.
Yeah, because that would take all, I mean, how many citizens are there?
Oh, like hundreds of thousands.
Oh, okay. Oh, good. Not a million, though. So it's not.
There was a 1.50 million.
But the dying off because of the no air.
People were
thing.
Jumping in the canals and to get away from the extreme heats. But, So now there's just like a giant statue of me that like you go up and I say like three things to like, please, I need like help with getting this, like, you know, my leg removed. And I'm like, let it be done, you know? And so that kind of rotates, let it be done. Ain't going to happen. And yum. Those are the three answers that I always give out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yum means yes.
No, yum just is like,
okay. It's just kind of like you're, it's like, it's delicious that they have that liver condition or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So like you can't, they're like, I guess I won't get surgery. You know, they feel better about not getting the surgery. Mm-hmm. That's why.
I think here's what I would do with legacy is I think I would only, and I really do mean this. I think the only people who have legacy that we pass on like verbally is people who've done something really bad. And so we only glorify, like we talk about it all the time. It's almost like steeping a little bit more shame into the culture, where it's like you don't get famous for doing good things, but you get celebrated, and then you're like canonized in a bad way forever if you do anything bad.
I think you're just actually referencing the fight that we've been having with statues in the world forever.
That's true.
Like, it's already been bad people.
But I almost go that you leave those up, but then the placard reads, "This is a piece of shit."
Yeah, I'm down
we
with that.
We hate this piece I'm down of with shit. That. But it's like, we do that. You got a Harvey Weinstein statue, like, on fucking Hollywood Boulevard.
What a bitch.
And it says, like, take a shit on this statue. Yeah, yeah, he's a piece of shit.
Maybe,
you know?
Maybe we do what the Greeks did and we put him in there, and, like, he's just encased in bronze.
I love that.
You know?
The Greeks did that?
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I forgot what it was. Something bull. They would put you in a bronze bull, light the underneath on fire, cook you alive, and your screams would sound like a bull.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty legit.
That's actually really cool.
So this is what I would do about legacy.
Yeah.
I would guarantee it. You know what I mean? What I would do is, like, at birth, I'd just go through, like, what you call it, like a baby ward, whatever the hell those are called.
And, sounds right.
And I would just, they have a balloon on top. I'd throw a dart, it would pop, and wherever the glitter fell on the baby, like, if it did or not, I'd be like, okay, that baby gets a legacy, this baby gets a legacy.
Oh, that's great. That's actually great. That, you know? That highlights the randomness of all of it.
I'd just be like, hey, that's how it's going to go down. And then they better live up to it.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I love that. Moving right along.
Great.
Okay. So I got to tell you, so this is our last subject. I'm really genuinely excited about this one because I feel like you've earned it.
Thanks.
And I almost feel like our whole relationship has sort of hinged on this in some way, or in that it hinges on someday you get to do this.
Yeah.
Which is, I want you to explain to me, this is under the theme of arbitrary.
Uh-huh.
I want you to explain to me what is wrong with me.
Man.
I only got 5 minutes.
Come on, I didn't have enough time, bud. I probably only need 20 seconds.
Yeah, okay, well, that's fine. Because, yeah, you can do 20 seconds on what's wrong with me, and then you can talk about whatever you want for 4 minutes
well,
and 40
I'm probably
seconds.
Still going to talk about that, but...
Yeah, okay. Let me just say, just, you know, don't be too mean.
Well, I'm going to tell you what's
no,
wrong
you
with
you. Mean. You should be mean.
I'm going to be honest.
Okay,
I'm not going to be mean. I'm going to be honest.
5 minutes.
I don't think there's anything wrong with you. I think there's a lot of things wrong with everyone else. That's I think the issue. Because I think you absorb so much of everything that, like, you're constantly chameleon. Like, I there's so many people that we know that have interacted with you that told me that you've gifted another name, that you've gifted a different persona completely. Mm-hmm. So it's like it's very unnerving to know that, like, when we go out and we hang out and we meet people, you've always told me to hang back a little bit, and you go up there and I see you kind of like do a different physicality, whatever. I know there's like so many canes and umbrellas in your car, and I'm always just like, okay, yeah, it's just like a hobby. He collects all these different things. But then when you go out and we're going to meet a certain person, you're walking differently, like maybe your hips thrown out a certain way. And I'm like, I always thought that was just like a fun little tick. Oh, this guy just likes to have fun when he's outside, like, you know, fucking with people. But I didn't realize that you actually are just manipulating the environment to suit whomever you're speaking to. And so I realized, like, oh, we are all a problem in some way, that we're not able to, like, present to you in a way that's like, you can be uniform. So that's actually us. Like, we have to, like, be the other. So I think the issue that you're not going to change that way. You know what I'm saying? You love wood handles and you love the way that grain feels in your hands and you like to walk with that. I just feel like that's also like a part of the thrust and, like, you know, why you're changing your persona and the way you speak and all that stuff. That, like, I think what we got to do is when next time that, you know, we're going out and you tell me, hang back for a little bit, you got to put on a fedora and you got to put on, like, you know, two different trenchers, and you're going to walk up to the bartender and you're going to start flicking her coins. You're going to say, I need a couple of rum and cokes and whatever the hell accent, right? Which I at first thought it was hilarious, a little disrespectful to the bartender, but also understood in that space, they know you as this guy. They know you as a rambler. So what I'm saying is, like, when you go into that space thinking that you're going to be interacting with someone who's like, it's a normal person working at a bar, I'm going to meet another person I'm probably going to play chess with, etc., that they then treat you like, guess what? Hey, you're in an old-timey saloon. Because it's 1864 Texas, right? And that's going to throw you because now you're not going to know how to interact with that space. So what's going to happen is you might kind of like short circuit for a second and maybe get to a place of just the complete normalcy, right? Like just like a blank middle ground where it's like, I guess I'm just going to talk like I normally do. And I am assuming as well that the way that you're speaking on mic is not exactly how you normally speak when I'm not around. So that's something I'm also aware of, but I also accept and I'm totally cool with. But it's just like, if we as a populace, and I say this to everyone who's listened to the podcast, anyone who's ever interacted with you or will, hopefully they'll hear this episode, specifically this part, is that I want all of us, whenever you meet Mike, just do not speak in the way that you normally speak. Present it in a way that's different and shocking to you, because that's going to shock him into a state of normalcy. And that's what we really want to do. Because at the end of the day, is there anything wrong with Mike? No. No, there's not. There's not. Okay. I'd say like one for one perfect being. Is there anything wrong with us? 1,000%. I think like a lot, like we are the problem. And I think that's just like how we should understand it. And there's not an indictment on that, okay? I don't think anyone actually is the problem. I just know that right now we are just trying to find how do we fit this square peg into a star-shaped hole. I'm not going to do a circle because I think that's pretty dumb, all right? Like square into circle, I'm like, yeah, we get it. There's so many other shapes. How about a square into a crescent moon? You know what I mean? Like why not that? Or how about a square into like a vertical side of a slice of cheese? You know what I'm saying? So it's like, oh, it is like square into a square, but no, it's not. It's actually just like a little sliver. You know what I'm saying? So if I was to take the cheese slice on the side and drop it in, it would work. But if I took the cheese slice flat and did it, it wouldn't work. I'd have to squeeze it down. To, you know what I'm saying? I had to fold it. So that's what I'm trying to say. It's like, you can make the shapes however you want. And just like say that, just in general, square into like a circle, have a little flair to your life. You know what I mean? Give yourself the little onus. Be like, oh, I can do that. Oh, what about a square into like what looks like a cat? Like it just looks like the silhouette of a cat. You're like, yeah, sure, fuck, could do that. That's legit. Could be anything. Could be, you know what I mean? It doesn't have to be a cat. It could just be something with like feline shaped ears. Also could be like a dog, I guess. But dogs have the floppy ears. Dogs got the floppy ears most likely. So like you wouldn't be able to see it. You'd see something that looked rounded. You think it was a bunny initially. But if you actually were able to show the photo that you were inspired by before you had to cut out from that piece of wood that was then put on the edge of a box, so you could like drop things in there, you would see like, it's actually a dog because it's got the floppy ear. But bunny's got flop ears too. Bunny's got flop ears too. So I guess if you're doing the rounded ear, you're going to have to kind of roll the dice on like people assuming it's a bunny or it could be whatever the fuck. But the pointed ears, the feline ears, we know that's a cat. There's not many animals that have those pointed ears. Don't even say turtles. They don't got ears. They do have ears. They're just in the side of their head. But like and birds have ears too. Birds have fucking ears too. Think about that shit. That's fucking wild. But again, my point is that it's like, hey, maybe the issue isn't the person that you think it is. Maybe the issue isn't the person that's causing the problems. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's you. So that's what I want to say. And for all of us thinking about like, oh, hey, well, let's judge these things. Let's throw indictments. Or let's like, oh, let's try to cure it. Let's try to cure this person. Hey, you know how you fill a glass of water? You make sure that your glass of water is filled first.
Fuck your dreams. Yeah, you know, that's not where I thought that was going to go. I actually thought that it was going to be more of an attack on me and that you were going to point out some of my obvious character flaws. And so I'm pretty surprised that it was actually kind of nice. I'll probably edit that out. But that's super interesting. I didn't write anything down during it because I was so surprised by where it was going. But what I really liked the most is the conversation towards the end about the ears on animals. And I was thinking, for a minute, we could have a little sort of sidebar about, yeah, like, when you're, when you have, like, free, like, because I know you teach stand-up classes and stuff. And so, like, you, like, what do you do in that last minute when you know you're floundering and you got nothing left? Like, you just go, like, if I think about because you're talking about cat ears.
Yep.
And then you're like, dogs have floppy ears.
Yep.
And then you were kind of talking about how turtles don't have ears. And then you may have also mentioned that birds have ears and that's crazy.
Well, turtles also have ears, too.
Yeah, and I was picturing the holes when you told me to, because an attentive listener, we're just going to listen the whole time.
Yep.
You know, we're not going to, I wasn't saying no to anybody. I was going, oh, yeah, what does a turtle's ears do? Are there little holes in the sides of the head? And I couldn't picture, but I could picture the nostrils. And so I was like, so, you know, there are some holes.
There are holes.
So who knows how many more there could be.
You're right.
You know, it's got the cloaca back there as well. So there's holes all over the fucking place. Do they have ears?
Yes.
They got little ear holes?
Yes.
That's so cute.
Yes.
I can't even picture. Yes. I can't picture what a turtle's little ear holes must look like.
Just little holes.
I can't wait to Google this.
Look it up.
I'm not going to do it right now because I want to give you my full attention.
Thank you.
But here's what I would say is wrong with me. And that's gonna serve as my, you know what I would do here. I would say I care too much and I work too hard.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say the same. Yeah. This is what I would do about you saying that. I go, yeah.
Okay.
I have bad news for you.
Why must I be tortured again by all this?
It might be a strange idea, but it's mine.
So, here we go.
You discover that you have the perfect body for samba dancing.
I already do.
You probably do. Let's go. This is not even hard to imagine.
Let's go.
But you, what you don't like is that okay, here's what it is. Is that you love to do that, but you consider yourself to be 100% asexual. But when anyone sees you dancing, it lights everyone up.
Everyone's horned.
Everyone's horned up, and you can't even help it.
Yeah.
You're such a natural dancer that if you're making espresso in the morning, you're going to samba around the kitchen.
Yes.
And if the mailman's walking by, he's going to come in and start flirting with you.
Yeah, well, come on.
And everyone's feeling it, and everyone's got it, but you are not interested. You just so happen to move through the world in a rhythmic way.
I feel like let me just jump ahead here, because I know this is what's going to go down.
Yeah.
I'm like helping the world populate. Anytime
you're
horning
them up,
yeah, and it's all consensual. Everyone's just like, they find something like, let's just get it on. Everyone wants to do it, they do it. It's all fun. It's all copacetic.
So you samba around people together in a sort of like Cupid loop.
Yeah, but I also realize like I'm helping to overpopulate the world.
Whoa.
And I got
to
figure out
contributing in a negative way to the population.
Exactly.
Problem.
Yeah. So I gotta actually put myself underground because I'm not. There's no way I can be outside because people are boning around me and I can't.
Some resentment's gonna build up down there. How long can you stay down there without wanting to do something up
top?
Is
there music?
Yeah.
All day.
You'll just dance all day down
all
there.
Day.
That's great.
Yeah. That's it. I'm going to keep mine short and sweet because I've
yeah, because I made you talk a lot and you didn't know that was going to happen.
Yeah, so I'm going to keep mine fairly succinct and, you know, you talk so much.
Yeah, you look really tired and I'm honestly thrilled to have made that happen.
I'm not tired.
Because a lot of the time my friends who listen to the pod will text me, oh, you're really Tucker and Joey out this week and they're really enthused about it.
Oh, they think that?
I hear it all the time.
You think that they
These aren't friends that even know each other. These are people independently all pointing it out to me.
And they go, oh, Joey got tired now.
They go, oh, he seemed a little tucked that time.
Oh, funny. Let me tell you something right now. I have the stamina and endurance of 6,000 suns.
Okay.
All right. There's no
suns?
Way. Yeah, bud. Wow. It's been burning before we were here. It's gonna be burning after.
Even
bud.
More boastful than I thought. Continue. Yeah. No. We all want it to be short and sweet.
I'm doing that for your sake.
Great.
Okay.
Great.
Okay. You're inside a little tiny cup. Okay. And you're looking around like, oh my god, what the hell is this? You're aware that it's in one of those little like paper cups. You look over and you see someone is scooping something up because you're at a Cold Stone Creamery and they're about to jam some ice cream on top of you. You have one opportunity to scream loud enough because of the echoness of the cup to reach them. What are you going to say to them to get their attention to hopefully spare your life?
I think I would sing the song that Pippin sings in Lord of the Rings. When the king of Minas Tirith is like eating that salad and he's like, oh, Miss Pippin, and I would just do that whole song.
Wow.
Yeah. Because then if it doesn't work, that's kind of a good song to go out
on.
Oh,
totally. That's
super solid to go out on. Yeah.
And we're not promoting that movie.
No. I would never. I would never date. I'm on strike, baby.
All right.
So this fashion designer guy comes up to you and he's looking at you and he goes, oh my God, I cannot believe I get to meet you in person. And he's like, he's all excited to meet you. And then he goes, you are him, aren't you? And you're a little confused. And you're like,
I say, yeah,
but you do pretty early on. You're like, yeah,
of course.
And then he goes, oh my God, may I take a picture of you with you? And you're like, yeah, sure. So he takes you inside of like, let's say a Gap. And he walks you right over to one of these headless mannequins. And he goes, this is you, right? And you go like, yeah. And it's ripped. Like, this is a ripped
shredded
mannequin. And then he goes, I would recognize that hog anywhere. Oh. And then he points to the no genitalia mannequin. And he goes, that's what you're working with. Now, you don't want to expose yourself to this guy because you will get canceled, right? But you're going like, no, actually, I have genitalia.
Yeah, my first thought wasn't to pull the hog.
No, I don't know. Because I would feel like you're going to get pretty pissed off.
Well,
at this
I'm already
guy.
Pissed off at
the
guy.
Because he keeps going, that's what you have. And he's pointing at this tiny little like Ken doll hump. You know what I mean? You're like, I got a hog, my guy. So like, what do you do in this situation?
Well, first off, I go, listen, bud, I'd love to take a photo with you, but honestly, like, I got to get somewhere to be. Okay,
nice.
I got to go do a business call with some of my friends in business.
Nice.
All right?
Yeah.
And he's like, that's fine, but let me just get one photo with you and this headless mannequin with the hog.
Yeah.
And I'm like, look, man, look, did he sound really nice? Why don't we meet back here tomorrow? And we'll do it. Then he's like, oh, I don't know. I'm like, look, just meet me here tomorrow. I'll do it. No problem. He goes, okay, fine. He leaves. I tell the lady who's and everyone who's working at the Gap, I go, listen, there's a fire inside the building. I know you can't see it. It's a invisible fire. Everyone's got to vacate. They leave.
They buy it.
They get out of there.
They totally buy that.
I go to work on that mannequin, bud, and I start putting a hog on him. Okay?
Oh, nice.
I start developing and like coming up with technology that you wouldn't even understand.
And it's just from like found materials in this Gap or whatever.
Yes. And I got a hog on that guy.
Yeah.
Right. So fine. Next day comes around, Giorgiano comes through, and he's just like, "What happened? What is this?" And I'm like, "There it is. Let's go." And he's like, "That is not what. No, that can't be. I do something different." And I was like, "Listen, buddy, you want a picture with me or the hog? Or that's just, it was like this before. If you don't want it, you can go." He's like, "No, let's take it." So we take the photo.
Yeah.
Everyone sees it. It goes on top, like the front page of Vogue, etc. Like I'm blowing up. Science magazine picks it up, sees what it is. They scoop me up, right, CIA style, throw me in the back of a van, mm-hmm. and now they're trying to do experiments on me to figure out, like, what the hell's going on with my hog.
Yeah.
Little did they know that I wasn't even actually really what it looked like. That was just on the mannequin based on the found materials I had. They don't believe me. They cut me up, and I'm just, like, in some kind of, like, cryo tube.
And you don't even show them your hog.
No.
What a good guy.
I'm not a fucking perv, dude.
No, you're not, dude, and I really appreciate that.
All right. I'm going to say this. You're at Home Depot. I know we referenced it earlier, but sure. It's on top of mind. You're looking for a certain kind of bulb. I'm looking at one right here, so I'm mm-hmm. thinking of it, okay? And you go around, and you're like, I don't know which one it is. This guy comes around. He's wearing the Home Depot apron. He goes, you want to look for a good bulb? He's like, yeah. He's like, what are you looking for? Oh, I want those, like, energy-efficient ones. He goes, great. So he goes up, and he starts grabbing bulbs, and they're, like, exposed, like, you know, like, a little, like, what you call, like, the display items.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, he just grabs it with the tip of his fingers and starts shattering all the bulbs. He's like, this one? You're like, no. This one? Oh, how about this one? No. And you're like, he's like, you got to tell me which one you're looking for. You're like, I don't know. And he's like, do it. You do it. And he's asking you to shatter them to find the bulb that's right for you. This is completely foreign. You've never experienced anything like this. How the fuck is that going to help you find the bulb? But this guy's kind of scary. He's been breaking bulbs with the tip of his fingers. He's bleeding right now, and he doesn't seem to be unnerved by it. What do you do?
I guess I do it. I mean, I love to break a light bulb. I love that sound. Yes. I love that sound. But I guess I do it one time, but I mean, that's going to fuck my fingers.
It's
going to
hurt
right?
your fingers.
I guess I do it one time, and then, but the thing that's most confusing to me is that you're saying that this is the one you want, but you're breaking it?
Yeah.
And so then so you break the display one, and then he gets it from, like, a different space or something?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess I break it. I break the first one, and I say, yeah, that's definitely the one that I want. That's
It's a huge one for, like, outdoor.
Yeah, and my house is a million lumens bright at all times.
Wow, dude.
Okay, you're able to change, you know, like, when water becomes ice, that's called a phase change or, like, a state change, mm-hmm. right? You're able to do that, but only to, like, one type of matter. Okay, and it's kind of like a power. It could be, if you can think of a way to use it. I don't know that I could think of a good way to use it. But, like, you know how, like, you know that, I don't know if you know this, about the Green Lantern or Green Lantern, whatever that universe is called. They have no influence over wood.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, isn't that random?
Yeah.
Yeah, but so, not that that matters, but it's almost like you can phase change all wood, right?
Yeah.
And so what is the thing that you would change, and is there a meaningful way, as it occurs to you now, that you could use this power?
I guess I would change streetlights.
Okay.
I'd have the ability to, whenever I want, make it green.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, of all the power that you could do with that. You're not even changing, you're not turning the streetlight into a living biological creature or something. You're not doing something crazy. It's not even a state change. It's literally just, it's just a green light now, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Great.
Because let me tell you this, man. I hate getting stuck.
It can be really annoying.
Do you know how, like, your life would change if every time you were driving, it was always greens?
Yeah, it'd be awesome. It's like the Truman Show. That's what I'm saying. Incredible. It'd be totally incredible. Like, but think of how that would, you know, throw off everyone else's day.
Not my problem.
Yeah, that's not your problem.
Get a state change ability like I had.
And imagine if you know that you're going to get green lights all the way. Like, I already leave my house way later than I should when I'm trying to get somewhere. Imagine how late you're going to leave if you know you got greens all the way.
And plus, I make so many different, like bets and shit like that. Like, I bet I'm going to get here before you and, like, just do it. You know, like, my life would be changed forever because of this.
I honestly do think that's a smart way to use the power.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to control wood. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, who gives a shit?
Who gives a shit?
Who gives a shit?
Who gives a shit? Uh-huh. You're the president of the United States of America. Mm-hmm. It's your second term, first day. You're feeling fucking cocky, right? Everything's that you want is happening. You got your cabinet ready. You got your Senate. You got your house done. You got your fucking Supreme Court judges already picked out. You're ready to fucking rock and roll. You got one policy that you've been swearing you're going to do first term, but now you actually have the power to do it in the second term. What is that policy?
Erase student debt.
Wow.
That's what's up, you guys. You gotta clear the student debt.
Listen to this, dude.
I mean, what are we even doing?
And universal healthcare.
And yeah, but that you said one.
Yeah, and UBI.
Yeah. But, you know, universal basic income. Yeah, that would be great. I would really like that. That would be nice. But you did say one.
I know, but then one's knocked down, go for the rest.
Yeah.
So it should not just be just one.
Right, but you said one, and I'm just trying to go by the rules of what you said.
Cool, man, but don't you think you're president, you can kind of, like, bend the rules a little bit to get those other things passed?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Great.
Okay, you are unable to enter into any body of water.
Oh, wow.
When you try, let's say you try and dive into a lake, you slide across it like it's ice, right?
Okay.
But it's really embarrassing to you, and you're a teenager, and, like, you don't know, like, that this is... it's actually kind of cool. As a teenager, you're really embarrassed about it, right? And so you're going to this big summer party, and it's at the lake house. And by the way, dude, you are cut up. You're in such good shape. It's the best shape of your entire life.
Well, for now, but I'll get better.
For sure. And so you're at this lake house, and everyone is, and you're a virgin, and everyone is out, everyone is going like, we're all going to lose our virginity on this trip, and we got to do it in the water.
Yeah.
So every day, everyone's like, let's go out in the water, let's go out in the water. And then someone goes, probably your buddy, let's say his name is Kyle.
Sure.
Kyle goes, Joey's scared of the water.
No, I'm not.
And then he dives in, and he does like a triple flip right into the water, and there's almost no water even comes up. It's so pure the way he dives in.
Yeah.
And everyone oohs and ahs, and they all get into the water, and then like a lot of the people, men and women, or girls and guys, they're all going, we're all going to fuck Kyle on this trip. We're so excited about it. And he just emasculated you, right? What do you do?
I feel like I realize that my power goes beyond just not being able to enter water. I feel so enraged, and I think like I'm able to step into it. But when I get into the water or like touch it, I've encased everyone inside of it into an immortal tomb.
Oh, no.
And that's what I do. So this entire lake is now frozen.
You kill all your friends.
I didn't kill them. Like maybe in like 1,000 years, I'll be able to like break out of it. I don't know how the power works.
It's some kind of hell, though.
No, for sure. No, it's definitely like...
they don't want that.
No, not at all. What's that movie with Sylvester Stallone and Simon Phoenix?
Demolition Man.
Well, I'm not promoting it.
No.
I'm keeping you in this prison. You're still with your thoughts. You're still alive, and then like you're just there. So like they're there for
thousands of years
until I really get a grasp of what's going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like maybe in time when I come back, I'll be like, oh, like maybe some kind of origin story for myself. Like I'd be like, hey, dude, touchstone moments. I go back and I'm like, oh yeah, now I'm able to free them, you know, or something. Or maybe I don't.
Fuck, that's like, horrible.
Yeah, well, Kyle shouldn't have fucked me like that.
Yeah, no, it's definitely on Kyle.
Yeah.
On like that's bully behavior, and bullies are bad, and they're gonna get their comeuppance.
Bullies are bad,
but that's a really bad one. That's a pretty to be alive while in like suspended animation like that. That's I can't imagine anything worse.
Speaking of animation, you're still allowed to do that on strike.
Oh, that's right. It's a different union.
Yeah. Okay. You're camping, right? You're out there. You're in somewhere in Alaska, right? And you're just like, oh my god, this is fantastic. You're just in the Yukon area. You're camping solo, which I never recommend. Never recommend. Okay. Mm-hmm. You see a herd of bears. Okay. 60 strong.
Damn. And they're fat.
They're fat and they're fast.
Yeah.
And they're running around. They're like playing music. You know what I mean? They're throwing a football around. They're having a blast. It's like, oh shit, you just stumbled upon a bear.
These are college age bears. I can tell.
Yes. Okay. And they're like looking to have a party.
Yeah. They're getting hammered.
They're throwing stuff around. You have a bag, maybe. I don't know, 10 pounds of weed, right? And you're like, shit, what's going on? You see some of the bears talking. They see you. They're like, you know, like saying what's up.
Yeah, like they're aware that I'm there and they're all kind of acknowledging me, but they're like kind of acting like they're going to politely not come into my space.
You go outside and you start smoking one of your J's.
Yeah.
Right? The bears see that. One of the bears like kind of nods to another. They rushes over to you. You get scared. You hold your ground.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah. You're kind of supposed to thrust at them a little bit, right?
Ah!
Yeah.
Make yourself look bigger.
Get as big as you can.
And it sees that, respects that, and goes, hey, man, you got some weed. We got some beer. You want to trade? And you're like, sure. So you go over there. Right. And you're like, you know, rolling joints and having a good time. And like, you realize, like, oh my God, like, you've been here all day.
Yeah.
It's too dark. You don't know where your campsite is. This is scary.
Yeah.
Right. So you're getting paranoid high that they're going to eat you.
Yeah. I am scared. I am feeling that right now.
And like, you want to get back, but you don't know how to escape the situation. What do you say to just get out of their campground to maybe find your tent?
Well, knowing myself like I do, I think I would try to say we're all out of beer, but then I would accidentally say we're all out of bear, and then I would just keep saying it over and over, and then they would just kill my ass for making such a lame-ass pun.
Fuck.
Yeah, I do think it's my ultimate fate to make, because I don't like puns, I think my ultimate fate is to make a bad pun and then be killed for it by a pack of 60-strong bear.
I'm down with that.
Yeah. Okay, bye.